If you got your Bibles in hand, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 10. And I'm actually continuing a series that I've been doing with you all for the past several Wednesdays entitled The I Am. Let me hear you say, I Am. And we've been going over the seven names that Jesus identifies himself as in the book of John. I definitely encourage you, if you ever want to do an awesome study on discovering who Jesus is, you know, really go through the book of John, and it really just opens up your eyes, because if there's one book in the scriptures that really paints that picture of not only God's love, but God's characteristics to us as God, the book of John is that book. I also want to personally thank each and every single one of you who have reached out to my family in condolences with the passing of my brother-in-law. I really appreciate you. Our family really does appreciate you. For those of you who were able to make it out to the funeral this last Thursday, thank you so much as a church. Your text messages, your emails, your presence, everything has just been such a blessing, and I really, really do appreciate you, church. Thank you so much. There's nothing like having a church family, and I was just so excited just to be able to come back to be with you this week, because I know that this is a place where I'm loved. And I definitely love you guys so much from the bottom of my heart. I mean that. Thank you. Thank you so much. So tonight's teaching is entitled The Good Shepherd. And this is actually part one of a two-part installment. We're going to be talking about The Good Shepherd in two parts. But over the last several weeks, as I mentioned, we went over these several names. We talked about the bread of life. We talked about the light of the world. We discussed Jesus being the door. But in John chapter 10, if you look with me, starting from verse 11, Jesus paints another characteristic of who he is. And the Word of God says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Now I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As my Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. If you're taking notes, I definitely encourage you to take notes. One of the things that I always tell my students is that any true student of the Word of God is going to take notes. So if you go ahead, grab a piece of paper, start taking notes. You might even have to open up your phone and go into the little notes section. There's this wonderful thing on the iPhone where you can take notes. By the way, I said iPhone. All right. Forgive them, Lord, if they have Galaxy. But anyways. You know, endurance is such a powerful word. When we hear that word endurance, it really is this exceptional quality, being able to see people who endure. And really and truly, it's a rarity in most. You know, when you look at history has really proven that there are few people in this world that are truly willing to carry the burden of pain, especially when they endure hardships. Man, let me tell you, I preached a message to you all some weeks back that there's nothing like a hardship to expose who you really are. Some of us, we go through some things, and there's nothing like the fire to reveal the true nature and the characteristics of who a person really is. But endurance, like I said, it really is a powerful word. Let me hear you say endurance. You see, endurance means, and this is the Webster's Dictionary, it means the fact or power of enduring or bearing pain, hardship, etc. It is the ability or strength to continue or last despite fatigue. How many of you have ever been tired and you felt like giving up? The definition continues and says, despite stress or other adverse conditions, it's a stamina. It's a stamina. You know, some of the other meanings of endurance from other dictionaries are to hold out against, sustaining without an impairment or yielding. It's the ability to bear resistance. Friends, let me tell you that as people, we are going to experience some resistance. How many of you ever experienced resistance in your life. You're going to experience resistance, but what a powerful quality endurance really is. And as I stated a moment ago, it truly is a rarity. It really is a rarity. If we can all be honest, many of us, as we've heard this metaphor used in times past, it bears true, especially for tonight's teaching. Dr. Tony Evans once said that Christians are a whole lot like tea bags. You never know how strong they are until you put them in hot water. Friends, let me tell you something. There's nothing like adversity to expose the real nature of people. Friends, let me tell you that even last week when my family went through a trial, had it not been for my faith in Jesus Christ, I could not stand before you today. But it is only because of the shed blood of Jesus and the grace of Jesus that we are able to display a quality of endurance. Church, can I tell you that endurance is a rare quality? You know, truth be told, when people go through the grind in life, when people go through tragedy in life, a lot of people, they just kind of fall apart. And I think that one of the things that breaks my heart, especially as a preacher of the gospel, is to see how many dreams people walked away from. How many visions were not fulfilled in people's lives because they gave up. They were not willing to endure. How many times people went through hardship and they threw in the towel. They threw in the towel. Well, now, I just want you to understand that this is not a bash humanity message. But it is a very real reality that in today's world, people don't endure. We see marriages that don't endure. We see families that don't endure. We see churches that don't endure. And really and truly, the list can go on and on. However, despite our lack of endurance, which is another word of faithlessness, despite our lack of endurance, the Bible teaches us that there's one who always endures. There's one who's always faithful, church. Even when we are faithless, there is one who is always faithful. Come on. Jesus is always faithful. The Word of God tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, that even when we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Man, can you give God a hand clap of praise that He is a faithful God, that despite what we go through in life, despite what we encounter in life, His endurance is never on trial. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on now, somebody. He changeth not. This is the God that I serve. This is the God that I serve. So we ask the question tonight, and my purpose is to do a lot of teaching. What's in this name? This name, the Good Shepherd. What's in this name? And it really is such a powerful revelation as we discover that the Good Shepherd truly reveals an endurance of God, the enduring work of God, of who He is like no other. And in this text, Jesus reveals this I am statement, and in it, He identifies exclusive qualities of His endurance versus the endurance of those that are in this world. Trust me, church, when I tell you, ain't nobody gonna do it for you like Jesus. I know that ain't the best English in the world, but church, you need to be reminded tonight that nobody, there's an old song that we used to sing in the church that can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. And church, you need to be reminded tonight that the Good Shepherd is not like the hireling. The Good Shepherd is not going to leave you high and dry. The Good Shepherd is not going to abandon you. The Good Shepherd is not going to leave you nor forsake you. But He's an enduring God. Can you say a praise to Jesus tonight? He's an enduring God. You see, you've got people that come into your life, and in church, this is the truth, that they may come and go. That they may come and go, but not Jesus. Not Jesus. Look, I'm a reader. I love to read. I always joke with people and say I'm a nerd. It's cool to be a nerd. I love to read, but let me tell you something. that you can have a book that impacts you for a season. You can have a book that touches your life for a season, but church, Jesus changes your life. He transforms your life. You see, Jesus is not like the person that's for hire. Jesus is the one who owns the company. He endures with his people. He doesn't leave you high and dry at the first sign of fear. He's a God that's willing to go through the fire. Come on, church. He's a God that's willing to go through the hard time. I don't know what you're going through tonight, church, but I know that I came with a word tonight. I was scheduled to preach this word to you last Wednesday, and for the unforeseeable circumstances, I wasn't able to bring it. But I'm a guy that believes for such a time as this type of moment, and I do believe that this is a moment where God is speaking to somebody, and he wants you to be reminded that he's an enduring God. He's a God that will walk with you even when nobody else will walk with you. He's a God that will never leave you. He's a God that won't abandon you. He's a God that won't leave you high and dry. That's the Jesus that I serve. He's a Jesus that remains constant. Oh, church, you've got to get that revelation in your spirit. He remains constant even when life gets tough. He remains devoted even when we find ourselves in a mess. And in verse 14, Jesus, he calls us his sheep. He says, my sheep. He doesn't say the sheep. He says mine. He takes personal ownership and he says, I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep and I am known by my own. You see, church, in the kingdom of God, we're not a 9-digit number. We are known by name. He knows you by name. Remember, you say, he knows me by name. He knows you, church. And he loves you, church. He's the good shepherd that leads out of sacrificial love and in endurance despite our inability to have it all together. I don't know about you, but I've been serving the Lord for years now, and I still ain't got it all together. But despite my inability to have it all together, he's an enduring God. He's an enduring God. As Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, it really is powerful to note some symbolic figures that are mentioned in this metaphorical text. There's three figures that I really want us to point out tonight. And we're going to look at these over these next two teachings. Tonight in specific, we're going to be looking at the sheep and the hireling. The sheep and the hireling. We will focus on the last part, the good shepherd. But I want us to look at the sheep. The sheep is us. The sheep is you and I. We are the sheep. You see, for a shepherd, the sheep are the shepherd's business. Church, we are God's business. And God is in the business of keeping his sheep. Sheep are the business and the focus of the shepherd. But as I was preparing this message some time ago, and I prepared this way back, we preached this in young adults a long time ago. Sheep by nature, they're not the most intelligent animals. They're not. They're really not. They're not the, I know they're cute and they make some great sweaters. Okay? But they're not the most intelligent animals. And there really is deep revelation when you begin to study about the sheep. And in their lack of intelligence, especially of all the animals in the animal kingdom, they really rank pretty low. They rank so low that they have to be led everywhere. They have to be directed everywhere and often moved along because of their inability to lead themselves. Sheep get lost. They can't lead themselves. You see, one of the things that I learned about sheep is that sheep constantly have to be led to new pastures. That they constantly have to be led to new things. And there's three reasons why sheep always have to be led to new things. Number one was this, is that, you know, moving sheep along to new pastures allows old pastures to heal. The second thing is that sheep will continue to eat and eat and eat
and eat and not stop eating until eventually they hit the dirt. And when they hit the dirt, they still keep eating.
They get comfortable. Come on now, I'm going somewhere with this.
And the third thing is that sheep, they'll sometimes go astray. They'll sometimes go astray because they get distracted. You know, a little bell here, a little jingle here, and all of a sudden, you know, and the sheep get lost. They get lost, and when they get lost, they get attacked. And Jesus really identifies this attack. Look with me in verse 12. It says, "But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them." Church, I want to ask you some questions tonight. How many times have we found ourselves in one of these three places? How many times have we found ourselves in a place where we were over-exhausting a season? You see, there's some of us that we get so complacent in something that God has done inside of our lives that we don't allow His leading and His directing to new pastures, to new things that God wants to do inside of our lives. You see, there's some of us that we even get distracted in life. And friends, when we get distracted, we grow a prime target to be attacked. There's some of us that we get complacent. We're like that sheep that keeps eating and eating and eating and eating until eventually we hit that dirt because we've adopted this mindset that life can't get better than where I am. Church, we are so much like these sheep. Isaiah, he says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, that we're all like sheep, having gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but I love how he ends that text. And the Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Friends, even in our lostness, God is still in the business of looking for you. God is still in the business of going after his sheep. I don't know where you've been. I don't know how lost you've been, but church, God's been looking for you. God's been knocking on your heart. God's been trying to get your attention. You see, there's some of us, and we were praying this earlier in the prayer time, but there's some of us that we've been wondering why we feel the way that we do, and God's been trying to get your attention because he's the good shepherd. I love verse 11. Look at what verse 11 says. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." You want to know why you can trust Jesus? And it's one of the most simplistic messages of the gospel, but it has confounded the wisdom of our religiosity for ages. It's that Jesus gave his life for you. And that's enough of a reason for me that because he gave it all for me, I can give it all for him. He is worthy to be served because I serve a God that already gave it up for me. That's the kind of God that we serve. So we see this sheep. Let's look at the hireling tonight. This is number two. Let's look at the hireling. You see, the hireling are pretty interesting. Now, the hireling are both good and bad. You know, the hireling are those that lead the sheep. They lead the sheep not out of ownership, okay, but out of a personal benefit. In ancient days, a shepherd would hire hirelings who would be like temps, okay? But as they were temps, they did not belong to the agency. They did not belong to the company. They didn't belong to the business. So they didn't have the same investment. They were different. So when everything went astray, when all hell broke loose in the company, the hireling split. You see, church, the hireling represents one of three major destructive forces in our lives. One of three major destructive forces. And I want you to get these three things down. Okay, these are three things that are huge downfalls for Christians. Number one is ourselves. We are the sheep. If there's something that will get you distracted, it's your own mind, your own thinking. How many of you will agree tonight that sometimes your thoughts will get you in trouble? Sometimes your emotions will get you in trouble. Another entity that we fight against, one that we illustrated a moment ago, are the wolves. We fight against wolves, and wolves are simply the enemy, Satan, that comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. We looked at that in our last teaching entitled The Door. And from John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "But the thief cometh not except but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." Church, we are always engaged in a spiritual battle. I want you to understand that. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, though we've quoted it a million times, it could never be truer, especially for this age, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we are fighting against principalities. We are fighting against dark things, things that are operating in heavenly places. Church, we are in a spiritual fight. But the third enemy of our soul can also be a hireling. You see, a hireling is this personality that we entrust our hearts to. We entrust our livelihood to. You know, we invest things into a hireling. But the problem with a hireling is that the hireling displays no real commitment to us. You know, I'm often taken back by how much commitment people put in things that reciprocate no commitment back to them. It's a huge thing. You see, the hireling really has no track record or really no trend of development of the soul. You know, sometimes false teachers and false shepherds are hirelings. Church, I want you to open up your ears clearly, because the Bible says, "Let him who have ears hear what the voice of the Spirit is saying." We are living in an age of voices. We are living in an age of rhetoric. We are living in an age where there's this voice saying something, there's that voice saying something. But I gotta ask you tonight, when was the last time you heard the voice of the shepherd? When was the last time you heard the voice of the shepherd calling? You see, one of the things about the hireling is that the hireling will act like a shepherd. The hireling will talk like a shepherd. The hireling will move like a shepherd. The hireling may even operate like a shepherd. But deep down inside, the interest is themselves. The interest is themselves. And when stuff gets bad, they will leave the sheep high and dry. They will abandon the sheep high and dry at the first sight of danger. Look at what verse 13 says, John 10, 13. It says, "The hireling flees because he is a hireling." If you never thought that, Jesus could be clear. You know, we want some deep expounding answer. Like, why does the hireling go? Because he's a hireling. He says the hireling flees because he is a hireling, and he does not care about the sheep. You see, one of the things that Jesus does as the true shepherd, as the great shepherd, is that he distinguishes true shepherding from those that are just in it for themselves. He distinguishes what it means to be a true shepherd. Now, the following of what I'm about to say, it's not a vent, it's not a rant, but it's a very real reality, especially in Christianity today. You see, the Bible teaches us that God raises up leaders who are just like the great shepherd. People that will invest their time, people that will invest devotion and discipleship and development into the people of God. You know, the Bible gives us a model in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 4, verse 12 through 16, and I definitely encourage you, if you get some time, write that passage down and go and study. But in that text, the Apostle Paul writes that God has given us leaders that will equip us, that will edify us, that will draw us to unity, that will keep us away from strange doctrines and the trickery of men, which means at times, church, that true shepherds will rebuke you. Come on now. I'm glad I got one amen for that, because that's a word nobody wants to hear. Nobody likes to get rebuked. But church, I don't want to be like the redheaded stepchild. I want to be one who God chastens, because the word of God says that whom I love, I chasten. You see, verse 13 in that text, verse 13 in Ephesians chapter 4 says, that the role of the minister in our lives is to bring us to the full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let me tell you something, church, that God will bring leadership inside of your life that will equip you and raise you up because they're true shepherds. They're true shepherds. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 through 4, Peter, he admonishes shepherds. And I want you to hear what he says. He says, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but by being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory which does not fade away." You know, there's a lot of Christians today that they put their focus and faith and trust in many people, that they may preach the Bible, they may preach the word, but they've got a hireling spirit. Come on now. I'm going somewhere with this church. Okay? You see, there's a rogue mentality that's operating in many believers today, in many of the sheep in the house of God today, where hirelings are being chased because nobody wants to submit to godly leadership. Nobody wants to submit to prophetic voices that are giving leading and direction in this day and age, that are pointing to the truth. So what we have done is that we've raised up leaders who will tend to our itching ears, come on now, that will tell us what we want to hear, that will tell us what feels good, that will tell us, hey, it's going to be all right, but you're sitting in the mix in the mire of sin when you need rebuke inside of your life. Come on now, church. Oh, I'm all about the message of love. I'm all about telling you that, yes, Jesus loves you. But church, you've also got to hear the truth, because my Bible tells me that it is the truth that will set you free. It's the truth that'll set you free. You see, what we're seeing in this day and age is this my interpretation of Christianity. This my interpretation of Christianity where biblical counsel is ignored. Where if a pastor rebukes you, oh, you're stifling my anointing. What anointing do you have if you can't take a word of rebuke? Let me tell you something, church. That for you to be anointed, you've got to go through serious rebuke. They once asked Catherine Kuhlman what it takes to operate in the anointing. And she said that it takes everything. Church, let me tell you something. That even to prepare a message, the grind that God has to take his preachers through. You have no idea, church. We don't just come before you and just preach a bunch of words and spit a bunch of rhetoric. But God is taking us through some stuff, church. When you bleed, we bleed. When you hurt, we hurt. And we go through some stuff too. So rest assured in your spirit that to operate in the anointing, you're going to go through some stuff. So don't give me this excuse that because you receive a word of rebuke, you're hindering my calling. What calling? What calling? Because if you can't hear the voice of the shepherd, you ain't called. Okay? You ain't called. I'm going to say it just like that. He said, "My sheep know me. And they hear my voice." Church, when you're getting the word of God in your spirit and you're hearing the word of God preached to you, but you want to sit here and act like the word of God ain't for you, then you ain't called. I'm amazed at Christians who display no loyalty. No loyalty to pastors, no loyalty to churches. And again, this is not a vent or a rant, this is a condition. It's been like this now for some time, hello? Let him who has ears hear, okay? They don't have loyalty to shepherds who manifest the heart of the great shepherd, and they chase after hirelings. But let me tell you something, church. You know, I'm going to tell you something like Pastor Maria would say. When you're hurting, you go call Mr. TV preacher. When you're sick, you go call YouTube evangelists and see if they're going to take your phone call. I'm being for real. But when God has deposited within your life true shepherding, don't waste it, church. Don't waste it. Let me tell you something. God has given me an amazing shepherd. See, y'all don't know, church. Yes, I have an amazing shepherd in Jesus Christ, but God has deposited within my life an angel. And let me tell you something, that the angel of this church, y'all know what I'm talking about, Pastor Maria. There's some words that she speaks that, man, it tears me up. I'm like, really, God? You got to go there with me? But church, this is shepherding. I tell you this, even as this time draws to a close, and I praise the Lord that she's coming back soon. But let me tell you something, church, that I can only stand before you today and operate in the ministry that I operate in right now because the faithfulness of a shepherd who did not have a hireling spirit. Man, let me tell you something. God has taken me through the grinds of rebuke, church. God has shown me some things. And this is from the heart. This ain't from the nose. This is from the heart. We have a wonderful pastor. We have a wonderful model of faith. Take advantage of the church. Take advantage of the Word of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with learning from outside sources. I want you to understand something from this text. The shepherd allows hirelings to watch the sheep. Get that in your spirit, right? Didn't he say that? Okay. In other words, you're going to learn stuff from other places. I told you I'm an avid reader. I read books. Okay. But you got shepherds. Church, why would you entrust your heart to people who have no proven endurance in your life? It's amazing how easily we throw our pearls to the swine. The precious things about us. You see, Jesus displays an endurance in our lives like no other. And his endurance can be seen in those that are truly his. It can be seen in those that are truly his. He says, my sheep know me. My sheep know me and they know my voice. There's something unique about it. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep and am known by my own. And in verse 27, I know that we didn't read it in the beginning, but I just got to give you a preview of this. He says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they hear me. You see that word hear in the Greek? It's a powerful word. It's the word akouyou in the Greek. That word doesn't just mean to hear with the natural ear, but it means to come into a revelation of something. It means to come into a deeper understanding of something. It means to come to an intimate knowledge of the truth. You see, with church, we've got to get into a habit of testing voices. There's some of us that we just listen to any voice. Any voice. Let anything that sounds like truth. Oh, that sounds pretty good. No, be careful. Did it scratch the itch in your ear? You know, I've told you this time and time again that even miracles, signs, and wonders, that they're not the determining factor of whether someone is a true follower of God. It's not, and that's scary. But those that will endure, come on, church. You see, endurance tells on you. It shows things about you. Those that teach the whole truth, not just parts of the truth. You see, God takes true shepherding very seriously. I'm going to wrap it up with this. In Jeremiah 23:1, he rebukes shepherds that are false. And he says, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. There's a real indictment in the spirit, church. He says through the mouth of the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 34:2, he says, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. How do we not give to our church, but we'll invest in another ministry? Hello? I'm telling the truth. You'll buy a book, but won't clean the carpet. Come on now. You'll sit here and you'll purchase somebody's videotape, but you won't lend a hand in ministry. How dare we sow a seed somewhere else when those people have been hired? You see, church, my heart is torn for the body of Christ, and I'm a man not angry at his bride, but I'm angry at a devil that has ransacked the minds of believers in this age and has deceived us into believing all these voices. All these voices that are speaking that display no true heart and commitment to the kingdom. No true heart and commitment. My heart is torn for so much of the church at the measure by which they allow people to influence their lives. I don't care what your title is. Show me your endurance. Show me the blood, sweat, and tears. You see, a shepherd lays down their life. You see, I've been pastoring for over a decade, and I've seen many, many who readily give an excuse for not assembling together as the church or serving in some capacity, but without hesitation, man, if a concert comes in town, they're there. If a seminar is in town, they're there. If the next bestseller is out, they buying it. You know, in part two of this teaching, we're going to look at the characteristic of the Good Shepherd, the fullness of the entirety. But as I close tonight, church, I want to ask, are you listening to the voice of the shepherd? Is your heart truly guarded in this age? Y'all know that there are many voices that are in operation in this hour. But who are you hearing? Who are you listening to?